I'm not used to being in live audiences. This is very exciting. Hi, everybody. My name's Kurt, and I am a compulsive eater.
Hey, Kurt.
So hope is one of my favorite topics. I knew very little about hope. All I knew was hopelessness when I first came into the program. A little bit about myself, and I do have some pictures. My top weight was over 300 pounds. I was completely disabled by my disease. I didn't leave my room. I didn't leave the house. I declined all the invitations. There's some passport pictures, some work pictures. I would get out of bed. I would go to work. I would starve myself all day. I would come home at night. I would climb back in bed, and I would binge. And that was my life for a good 10 years. And all this time, I was 25 years sober, if you can imagine. So I needed to address my compulsive eating and really didn't even know that I had a problem with compulsive eating. I thought, you know, I just eat too much sometimes. I was hopeless. I came into OA at the age of 55, back in 2015. I'm now 63. And who would have thought I would live to be 63 years old and so good looking and so humble? you know, this program, and we'll talk a little bit seriously about my life today. It is not a bed of roses. When I first came into the program, I joined the gym, went on a strict diet, lost 150 pounds, and thought I graduated. But I didn't need OA anymore. I did not do what was suggested. I did not give up my alcoholic foods. I didn't even know what they were. I was just trying to eat like a normal person. And I am not a normal person. I eventually found 100 of the 150 pounds that I had lost, and that was humbling and humiliating. In 2018, I surrendered once and for all and started to work the program as suggested. It's like the people in an airplane, and they say, here's your parachute. We suggest you put it on before you jump. And so, you know, I started doing what was suggested. It was very scary for me to give up my precious alcoholic foods. To me, they were my higher power. I didn't think there was any hope. I had tried my whole life to lose weight, and I could lose it, but I couldn't keep it off. The crazy cycle put me in the hospital. It was truly insane. I'm also a type 1 juvenile diabetic. I've been on insulin for over, well, almost 50 years. And they told me as a child, there wasn't much hope. That was the message I heard in England. You know, they said, you'll lose your eyesight and probably your legs. You know, not directly, of course, you don't tell a child that, but, you know, I pick up the newspaper and read it, and I see that people die from compulsive eating and diabetes. It's, I didn't even have a word for it back then, but I had a lot of secrets, and I never shared those with anybody. I was all alone. So the fact that I'm here and that I'm alive is nothing short of a miracle. I got abstinent once and for all, put down those precious things that I was addicted to. And it's not broccoli, it's not Brussels sprouts, and it's not healthy things. It was all junk. And I'll tell you, I've been at a healthy body mass index, BMI, for 4 years now. And it's 24, which I found out the other day, 24 is at the top of the spectrum. I could be 18 and be in rehab. So I'm like, I have another 30 pounds to lose. But, you know, I'm at a healthy body weight today, and I'm at peace with that. It's a miracle. So I wanted to talk a little bit about experience, strength, and hope. So you all know what it was like before. It was a mess and very sad. And that could have been the end of my life. And in a way, it was. In 2015, I started going to the OA meetings. I didn't do what was suggested. I lost the weight, but gained it back. And then I got serious. I finally got abstinent. It took me 3 years. There's a story in the big book, and the name of it is There Is a Solution, Chapter 2 of the 4th edition, page 17. The tremendous fact for every one of us is that we have discovered a common solution. We have a way out, which we can absolutely agree, and upon which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. This is great news, and this book carries for those who suffer from alcoholism, and in my case, everything, including compulsive eaters. OA has been successfully changing people's lives for 63 years now. And I was born in 1960, so there's a correlation there. OA started the year I was born. Is it odd, or is it God, or is it just a beautiful coincidence? Who cares? If I can work this program, I have faith that I could help others. And if it can work for me, by God, I know it can work for you if you are willing to go to any lengths. So what is the solution? It's not a pill or liquid. It's not a diet. It's not a rigid exercise routine. All I have to do is get up every day and do what I did the day before, but a little bit better. So what does that mean? I pray and meditate. I ask a higher power to help me. And I literally write it down. I take my daily readers. I take a part of the reader that applies to me for that day, and then I write about it. So I have a brother who's an alcoholic, and he's transitioning right now as we speak. He's in the hospital in Maryland. And my family was riddled with drugs and alcohol and abuse. And, you know, sadly, there wasn't much I could do for him except lead by example. And that's what I hope to do. I start every day giving thanks with gratitude that I'm alive. I like to set aside prayer because I thought I knew everything there was to know about the 12 steps. And I really had to forget everything I knew and apply it to compulsive eating, and I knew nothing about that. Hunger is a very wonderful feeling. I never felt that before, and now I'm making peace with it. I hated it at first. I thought it was going to kill me. But if I get hungry between breakfast and lunch, I know I'm not going to starve to death. I accept that I am allergic to highly addictive food-like substances, and I need to avoid that. And that was really the biggest hurdle I had to do, put down my toxic alcoholic foods. And of course, it's not broccoli or cauliflower or Brussels sprouts. You know, I won't go into food, but we each have to figure out what is our alcoholic foods. Exercise is not a punishment. It's funny, I am embracing the idea that to live a healthy life and to have quality of life in this long life that I've already been given, I want to take care of my body. I want to take the best possible care of myself today. And eating and feeding myself properly is just the beginning. I love the allegory of Hansel and Gretel in the Grimm's fairy tale, where they were tempted by the witch's house, which was all my alcoholic substances. So after I got the phone call about my brother, I was thinking about my feelings. And my home life's terms can be really hard. Getting in touch with my emotions. I felt angry, but that was a surprise. My brother was in the hospital dying and still is. And so I didn't run to the food. Here's the miracle. I wrote about it. And I asked my higher power to help me get in touch with my feelings. I was there for my sister-in-law and my nephews, and I'm always there, and I give out my number freely. I realized that I have a good reason to be angry. And then I realized I was somewhat let down. I tried to get him into the program many times. I was a little bitter that alcoholism took another person in my family, but I'm going to focus on compulsive eating. The moral of that story is that I don't need to run to food and eat over any problems today. I still have diabetes, and I always will, and one day I won't be here, and you know, there may be complications from that, and so be it. I just know that if I take the best possible care of myself today, then I did my best. And that's all anybody can ask. So experience strength. The program is my strength. I show up at a lot of meetings. I do surveys. I am now the Region 2 rep. Region 2 is all of California, all of the country of Mexico, Bienvenidos, todo el mundo. The state of Hawaii and parts of northern Nevada. I'm also working on the Committee of Public Information and Professional Outreach. I know that this program can save lives if people are as desperate as I was to have what other people have. So here's my hope: to continue learning and stealing everything I hear that works for other people, seeing and hearing what works for you, making peace with my higher power. I had to do that before I could get my higher power on my team. And that was a huge accomplishment for me. Making peace with myself after all I did. And I hope that I continue to accept and love myself. Teaching myself some loving, tough love, especially when it comes to late night snacking and grazing. I love to talk about my food plan and my Soylent Green. It's a super healthy thing that you know, I had to learn how to make to feed myself. And it's one of the gifts I give myself today. Learning about how to take care of myself, not only with diabetes, but with Crohn's, with commitments. Now I'm back in life. I just got off a cruise where my feet kind of went a little helter-skelter. And then I got COVID on the cruise. And, you know, I didn't eat for 2 days. And then when I got home, I was eating late at night. And I weighed myself on the 1st and the 15th. And I skipped the last previous weigh-ins because I was just so fearful of what that number would be. And wouldn't you know it, I stepped on the scale and I was 164, which is my goal weight. I couldn't believe that I'd gone off, you know, to live life and to do things somewhat spontaneously, although I did have a food plan, I didn't follow it as well as I wanted. But this is how I learned to take care of myself today, learning how to feed myself. And I hope that all of you will take this objectively and lovingly. Feed yourself as if you were the most important thing on earth, because you are. I hope that I can do God's will for me. And I pause throughout the day. I literally set a timer on my devices to go off on the hour. And that's to remind me to pause and ask for directions. And I'm really bad at following directions. So I need all the help I can get. God knows that. God's laughing at me. I hope that my participation in OA helps others. I hope that I can grow spiritually and stay on the path. I hope that I can continue to stay at a healthy body weight. I hope I can see newcomers and returning members come back. I hope that I can live by the spiritual principles, and I had to memorize it: honesty, hope, faith, courage, integrity, willingness, humility, self-discipline, love, perseverance, spiritual awareness, and service. And that's just the steps, the traditions, and working on those: unity, trust, identity, autonomy, purpose, sixes, solidarity. Anyway, structure. No, that's anyway. I'm working on that one, but there's hope. Solidarity. There we go. And then responsibility, because that's the seventh tradition, which I hope everyone remembers. And I hope that, you know, the state of optimism and positive thinking permeates in your lives as it has in mine. I have lots that I could complain about. I have lots of despair. If I focus on those things, then they will take over. If you focus on the problem gets bigger, right? But if you focus on the good and the solution, that grows as well. I hope I can continue to accept life on life's terms. And then the end. I'm not afraid to die anymore. Dying is the easy part. Living is the challenge for me. So I know if I keep coming back to the rooms, I know that if I stay in OA and get up every day and ask a higher power for help, I know I will continue this path. And my life has never been better. I used to cringe when I hear people say, I have a life blessed beyond my wildest dreams. It sounded so Pollyanna, you know, but it's true. And as long as I focus on that, then I'm in the good. And I realize that thank you. I have 5 minutes, everybody. Wow, I was wrapping up. So
keep talking.
I get up and I read the daily readers, and on August 31st, from For Today, I just want to read this because it was so beautiful. And I was kind of thinking about what I was going to say today. The reading was, man is as full of potentiality as he is of impotence, by George Santayana, a Spanish immigrant who moved to America. He went back to Spain before he died. He also said, and this is a quote of his I love, those who do not remember the mistakes of the past are doomed to repeat them. Something along those lines. And I'm like, that guy was brilliant. Hope and hopelessness are part of my disease. Hope tells me there is a better way. Hopelessness says, what's the use? I recognize hopelessness for what it is. My mind protecting me from disappointment. Did we just read this? Hopelessness served me at one time, but I don't need that device today. I have a higher power that gives me everything I need. I am willing to continue to cast out old ideas, keep turning my life over to the care and protection of God. Therein lies my hope. For today, my potential is in direct proportion to my willingness to let go the shackles of self-will and to get out of my own way. On one end of the scale, I accomplish wonders. On the other, I am powerless. So I love the third step prayer. God, I offer myself to be, to build with me, and to be with me as I will. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those that I would help, of thy power and love and thy way of life. So if you knew me when I was living in my room and didn't get out of bed, even to eat dinner, you would never believe I'm the person standing in front of you today. That is a complete transformation, not just physically, but inside, in my own head. I thought about suicide frequently. And, you know, I look at TV and I see big, beautiful, sexy people who own it and love it, and they're happy with their body size and shape. And kudos to them. That was not my story. I was extremely depressed and in a great deal of pain. So I wanted to tell you a little story that one of our past presidents used to say about the optimist and the pessimist. And so it goes something like this. There were two twins, and the parents were concerned because one was clearly optimist and the other one was clearly pessimist. So they took them to a psychiatrist. And the psychiatrist said, okay, well, let's do a test. So he took the pessimist into a room full of toys and said, what do you think of those? And the pessimist started to cry and said, if I play with a toy, I'll surely break it, you know. So he says, well, you know, okay. And then he went to check on the optimist, who was in a room full of manure. And he saw the optimist up there digging through the manure and said, what are you doing? And the optimist said, with all this horse crap, there's got to be a pony in there somewhere. But, you know, optimism and, thank you, optimism and pessimism are choices that I can look at and make today. And by doing an inventory and trying to stay hopeful, I focus on what's good. I had a couple of jokes that I'm going to spare you. But anyway, stay in touch. I love you all. And I hope to hear your stories up here one of these days. Thank you.